Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday morning to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. And as you listen, if you think of someone who would benefit from hearing this, please pass it along to them. Well, it is officially fall. How do I know? Well, I looked at my calendar. And I also put my fall decorations out yesterday, so must be official. We usually think of fall as a time when the kids go back to school to learn the fundamentals of their education. And in a similar way, we, on our Monday morning First Things First calls, are going back to school in our new study of Romans to learn the fundamentals of the Christian faith. In my NIV version of my Bible, in the introduction to the book of Romans, there they write that Paul wrote this letter to the Romans while he was in Corinth. Paul had been in Corinth and Ephesus for several years, and he sensed it was time to continue his missionary journey. Paul was planning to travel west to Spain, and he wanted to make Rome his home base for that journey. So Paul knew that a letter to the Christian church at Rome, to be shared with the elders there, would be helpful as he described a more precise look at what he had been teaching other churches. Well, the Roman Christian church was unique in that Paul was not the one who had founded this church, like he had so many of the churches that he wrote to. He wrote to the Philippians, he founded that church. The Corinthians, he helped found that one, but and other churches. But the Roman church had been founded by a community of Jewish and Gentile believers in Christ who came together and formed their church. So in writing this letter to the church in Rome, it became this powerful document of the foundations of the Christian faith. And we can hear Paul's passion for these new believers, for their understanding of their newfound faith, and certainly for the gospel. We hear it right from the beginning. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 8, Paul writes, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. How I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may mutually be encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles." And then he goes on to write this most powerful testimony statement. Paul writes in verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew and then the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Well, before Paul could get to the good news about how the righteous live by faith, he spends the next several chapters describing to these new believers how they, and ultimately we, all fall short of God's righteousness through our indulgence in self and our desire to be self-sufficient. Paul describes this as godlessness, and we read what he says in Romans 1, starting in verse 18 on this. He writes, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. We are without excuse. We look around creation. We know a creator created this. We are without excuse for practicing godlessness and self-sufficiency. And Paul then goes on to describe how God's people had practiced greed, lust, sexual perversion, envy, murder, gossip, slander, arrogance, boastfulness, God-hating, faithlessness, heartlessness, deceitfulness, maliciousness, and on top of it all, Paul says, they disobeyed their parents. That was at the heart of it. They disobeyed their elders. They disobeyed their parents. It started all the godlessness. Paul made it clear there was no one who was righteous. And as author Max Licato writes in his book, In the Grip of Grace, about this, on page 11 in his book, Max Licato writes this, Paul's word for this is godlessness. Godlessness. The word defines itself. It's a life minus God. Worse than a disdain for God, this is a disregard for God. A disdain at least acknowledges his presence. Godlessness doesn't. Whereas disdain will lead people to act with irreverence, disregard causes them to act as if God were irrelevant, as if he were not a factor in their journey. How does God respond to godless living, he asks? Well, not flippantly. Romans 1:18, we just read it, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness. Paul's main point is not a light one. God is justly angered over the actions of his children. And then he goes on to write, Paul gives us the bad news before he gives us the good news. He will eventually tell us that we are all equal candidates for grace, but not before he proves that we are all desperately sinful. We have to see that mess we are in before we can appreciate the God we have. We have to see the mess we are in before we can appreciate the God we have. Well, this is the first lesson in our study of Romans. To fully appreciate our need for a Savior, we must first understand the depths of our lostness. We were all sinking deep in our sin until God sent the Savior to rescue us in the grip of his grace. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you know someone who would benefit from hearing this podcast, just pass it along to them. And if you would like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study Time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.